Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it is treating you good for this May 9th, 2023, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. In studio, we have our head of the news department here at WFHR, Ms. Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
I was trying to have a better presentation. I was trying to give you a real good opening here.
I was reaching for something.
I was trying to give you a big opening here.
I was waiting for you to stop so I could say good morning.
I give you this huge log and just, come on, James, come on, wrap it up. It could take me a while to go through all your credentials. Good to have you in studio, Melissa.
Yeah, how
you
doing? Glad to be here. It was a bit foggy this morning driving in, so be careful out there. It looks like it's mostly lifting now, but there were definitely patches of it.
Had a little bit of that London fog here this morning. It was a little bit all right, not so bad. We're going to have some fun this morning. In just a little bit, we're going to get into our National Day of Calendar. We're going to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks getting the number one pick. No, we're not. We're not going to do that. It's all I want to talk about this morning. I'll be honest with the audience. I was not very good last night. I was not a grown adult last night, Melissa.
No.
The Chicago Blackhawks had the third best odds to get the first pick in the NHL draft.
Okay.
They got it.
Oh, good.
They got it, and I freaked out.
Okay.
I was so excited, I could not sit down for a good 10 minutes. Because the kid that they are getting, this Connor Bedard, he is the next phenom in hockey. He's 17. Everybody in the world will tell you he is the next Gretzky, the next, you know, Messi, the next great hockey player. And he's coming to Chicago.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's all that matters in the world right now to me.
Okay.
It's
I've let you ramble on now about it for a few minutes. I'm cutting you off.
Yep.
Bring it up again, I'm going to throw something at
you. That's fine. That's fair. I just wanted 30 seconds. That's what you gave me. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We are going to talk about Teacher Appreciation Week. That is much more important. We'll get into that.
Very
much so. We have the scientific reason why we started eating Brussels sprouts.
Oh, scientific reason.
Yes, we're going to get
into
that.
Not just because they taste good?
Yeah, you know, that seems like a pretty safe reason. We have a new lady that we got to talk about because she is a hero.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool. In the 8 o'clock hour, we got the best cities to eat local food and the worst local food cities.
Good.
Along with that, how often do we talk about the weather?
Quite a bit.
A conversation.
It's the easiest small talk there is.
That'll be fittingly right after we talk with our friends Paul over at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul and Trombley and the gang, this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock, going to have some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all that stuff coming up for you. We'll lead you into Morning Magazine, our first one of the week. Joining us today is our friends at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, Stacy Keevy. She is the president over there. We're going to talk with Stacy today.
Oh, good.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And in part two, we have a special episode of Let's Talk Real Estate. We have J.R. Seward along with Carolyn Saylor with us. Carolyn is going to join us along with J.R. to talk about Bluegrass at the Lake.
Oh, nice.
One of our favorite events in this area. I love talking to J.R. So I learn something every time I talk to him. It's fun. It's a blast when we have Carolyn, too.
Cool.
Carolyn's such a great interview. Such a great
Bluegrass.
Person. Yeah, you and I are huge Bluegrass fans. So you're going to definitely love that episode. That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to all of those things. As you touched on, a little bit foggy coming in this morning.
Yeah.
I took a different route than I usually do coming in.
Oh, did you get lost?
Thankfully. Not so. But I do want to send a shout out because I used to go there all the time when I was a kid, and I just don't drive over that part of town. I'm not over there. So I completely blacked out from the ground up coffee shop being open at this early.
Ah.
There's not a ton of places, at least where I'm coming from, to get here
that are open
this early.
Six,
other than gas stations
six.
And stuff. So I was actually able to get some real coffee. not like water that is flavored coffee or whatever, which I'll drink. I'm not saying I'm above or anything like that.
No, but caffeine in water, as long as it looks like coffee and kind of tastes like it, usually that's all it takes.
This is an amazing mocha. This is really, really, really good.
Okay.
A big shout out to From the Ground Up Coffee Shop. They're open right now. They're open till 3. Visit them any chance you get. 250 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. 421-5161. 421-5161. Number you can call. They got a great Facebook page as well.
I have to tell you, when I first moved to Wisconsin Rapids and I saw that coffee shop, I was like, oh! They stole my name. Because, funny story, I was in college here, which I just finished right as I was moving to Wisconsin Rapids, I had to build a business. And we had to name it, we had to label it, we had to, you know, do all the branding and all of that for my business management degree. Mm. And I called my coffee shop from the ground up.
Ah. I like that. It's a good name.
It is a good name. I just thought it was hilarious that I moved to a town that had the same name as my coffee shop.
You know, there are no coincidences. It's just kind of funny sometimes.
I was pretty proud of my branding, though. I did tree roots under a cup of coffee.
Ooh,
which I
like that.
Was really cool.
I like that.
But you guys are welcome to steal it, ground up.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
I'm not sure how long they've been around, but man, I've been going there as long as I can remember. I think as long as I was going to school out here and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've stopped in a couple times and bought beans to take home. They
great
have
place.
Really good coffee.
Really good place. We are going to go ahead and shift gears and move on to our national day. Get into our national day of calendar in just a moment. Before we do, I wanted to just real quickly talk about Hoozles Rise to Music.
Oh yeah,
we've got this event back. It is the second annual of these events of this event, and we are so excited about it. It is getting into gear. We're looking for registers right now.
Yeah, we need musicians to head over to HoozlesRiseToMusic.com. Sign up because you need to get a spot in this really awesome local competition. It's going to connect you with other musicians in the area, and get this, other musicians across the state, because it's not only going to play on our airways, it's also going to play on Civic Media airways through Max Inc. Radio, which is an awesome, fun partnership
such
that we have.
Such an awesome show.
Rocker is such a cool dude.
Great guy.
And Terry Barr, they're lots of fun over there.
Yeah, they are.
And then it will also play on our Director's Cut show.
Director's Cut.
By, I don't know, some dude's name.
Sounds
Seth
familiar.
James.
Is that the show that's on 8 to 9 with that really, really charming, dashing host and that James guy?
I thought you were going to go the other way with that. Nicely done. Yes, that is the show. It's on Sundays, and you're going to get a spot on there.
Yeah.
If you qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to register, then you got to go through the first round of competition. That's every Thursday in June and July. And then the final grand competition will be, I believe, at the end of July.
Yeah.
It depends on how many musicians they get as
right,
well, too.
Right.
But get your registration in early because you don't want to miss out on this.
Have
15 minutes of prepared music. You can do covers. You can do your own. You groups of one, two, or three, I believe it's limited to. And you can bring whatever musical equipment you would like to play. Seth is against the kazoo, but
yes.
I firmly say
a
quartet, or, you know, wait, that's four.
Ooh. A trio.
There it is. That's the third.
Tripod.
That's also three.
Yeah.
In your defense, a trio of kazoos would be pretty cool.
I think you get some harmony going. You never know.
So head over to HoozlesRiseToMusic.com. Register. Mark your Thursdays for June and July because you don't want to miss this competition.
I'm pulling for a barbershop quartet. I'm really hoping for that to
but
show
that
up
you
this year.
You can't have four.
Nah, that's
one,
right.
Two,
that's
or three.
Right.
Unless a person can double sing, which is possible.
True. That's very true. Or if you had like a ventriloquist dummy up there with you as the fourth. I don't know if that counts. Might be a way to shoehorn a fourth member.
There you go.
In all seriousness, this is such a cool, important event.
Mm-hmm.
And I do mean important. Supporting the arts is becoming more and more important as we go along here.
Yes.
And we really focus on teenagers, young adults when it comes to that. Those people grow up and become adults, obviously.
And they still love music.
Yes. And to chase that dream while also, you know, keeping the lights on and doing those things. I know a little something about that. And I have empathy towards that. I would hope that most people could. I guarantee you that all the people that were in it last year, the people that are in it this year, the people that are going forward and stuff, most of the musicians you see in bars and places around here, they're chasing a dream while trying to keep the lights on, but they're doing this without a choice necessarily.
It's a passion.
You don't get to choose your passions. They choose you. I genuinely believe that in life. And helping somebody do that while along with being entertained is one of the greater joys in life.
Yes.
You get the support of supporting a local artist while also being entertained.
Mm-hmm.
It's the definition of win-win, you know? It's fantastic. It's like helping out a nonprofit. You feel good. You put back into your community while also, you know, being able to feel good about yourself and doing that with your time.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of the members on Director's Cut who participated in last year's Hoozle's mm-hmm. Rise to Music. Chris Lee was one of these people, and Chris shared with us a really intimate, vulnerable interview with him where he was talking about how he was kind of done with music in some ways. He's just doing it as a solo guy, didn't really feel like doing too much of this anymore, and maybe do a couple things here or there. Mm-hmm. He had a friend suggest to try Hoozle's Rise to Music, jump into that. He did it, and not only did his like fire get relit in him, but he found, hey, I really like playing with other people.
Yeah,
this Kyler, she's amazing. I want to mm-hmm. play with her a little bit, and discovering that relationship and stuff, and so on and so on and stuff. And he's continuing to work. Brad Jantz, another one that told mm-hmm. us a little about this. And as I mentioned, Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler Cuzio.
Who is any day now, I keep on refreshing my computer screen to just wait until she's a household name. Because mm-hmm. that kid is just going to blow up. Like,
yeah,
there's no ceiling for somebody like her.
Yeah.
Literally no ceiling whatsoever. She could just rise and rise and rise. And all that starts right here and starts with all of you. Just supporting these artists, supporting this event, spread the word about the event. We all know artists. Get tell a musician about this event. Mm-hmm. Encourage them to be a part of this event. Because the only opportunities that we can afford to lose are none. There's zero. There are no opportunities you can afford to miss out on as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
A missed opportunity, you just have no idea what that can be. Be a part of this. Spread the word about this. A big shout out to our head of sales and marketing, Steph Schmidt.
Yes.
We just
this
adore
was her baby,
here.
And
yeah.
she did such an amazing job with this. Got everybody going on it. And Hoozle's, we got to mention them as well, because
yes.
they're awesome. Their food is amazing.
Love Hoozle's.
And their service is really great, too. They, when you get there, because the event is out under their pavilion, but you can go into the bar, order, they take your number, and they'll message you when your food's ready.
Yeah,
so you
cool.
can just go and pick it up, and you're good to go.
We are excited about having, this summer coming along. We're going to have our Thursdays covered. We've got Rafter Baseball. We've got so many different fun things going on around here, and we're excited for this to be happening. We want you to be a part of it. Again, spread the word and bookmark the webpage, hoozlesrisemusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar and some more fun for you on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Melissa in studio. That was fun when you had her here in studio, Mel. Time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this May 9th, 2023. And not a lot on the bone today. Not a lot of meat on the bone for this one. We did mention yesterday it is National Nurses Week.
Mm-hmm. It's important to honor and have respect and appreciation for our nurses and what they do and what they go through.
But you only got to do it until Friday, May 12th. After that, you can stop. Yeah, no, absolutely, Melissa. Exactly what you said, 100%. There's never a bad time, never a bad day to appreciate our nurses. An integral mm-hmm. part of the medical field, medical world. I was yesterday when we talked about this, I was focused and immediately thought of my Nana, who was a nurse. But one of the things I like to do with these things, imagine our world without nurses.
No, can't do it.
Who immediately can't? Doctors.
Yes, yeah, no. Yeah.
Like, even more than patients, I bet doctors couldn't live without nurses.
No, yeah. They rely on them very heavily.
It's National Lost Sock Memorial Day. I'm sorry, this one gets me a little bit.
I know you like your socks, James.
I love my socks. I miss you, Lefty.
Socks
I like the idea you
important.
Name your socks. Sorry.
Well, that could get confusing, unless you wear different colored socks.
Just
on
name
each
all
foot.
Lefty and Righty. It's easy. there is something going around stealing our socks, and I don't know what
gremlins.
The underpants gnomes. I'm not sure. South Park did an episode on this, and I'm not sure who was correct and where the myth and the reality begins, because we joke about it, but seriously, where are all the lost socks? Like, how does this happen? I grew up like when I first started doing laundry at my parents, and I would do the laundry, and I only was in charge of like whites and towels, things I couldn't mess up and everything at 13, 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
But we'd have a missed sock, and ask my mom, she's like, oh, missed sock. Yeah, that's what happens. It's like, that doesn't seem
odd
right.
Sock.
Like, that doesn't make sense. I have made it my life's goal to lose as few socks as possible. I put them together when I throw them in the hamper or in my bag or whatever, you know, to bring it down for laundry. And I make sure, okay, I got both socks as I'm throwing them in the washer.
Wow.
And still I have lost socks.
You track them that closely?
I wouldn't. I'm maybe over-exaggerating a little bit, but not that much.
Okay.
Not that much.
All right.
Still
I'm
lose
impressed.
Socks. I still lose socks. There should be a name for this.
Well, you
the
know,
phenomenon
I
phenomenon of lost sock.
I have heard that they, you know, go off with your Tupperware lids.
Yeah, that
you
too,
can't find.
That too.
So,
yeah.
You know, we find one, you'll find the other.
There is a phenomenon of lost sock. Not socks. Sock. That we need to figure out. But yes, it is a great day to remember those. It does really suck when you have a pair of socks you really like and you lose one.
Yeah, it really it sucks.
Yeah, it really sucks. it's National Sleepover Day.
Well, that's appropriate.
Yeah. You got a sleepover tonight,
I
right?
do. Yeah, I'm staying over in Rapids tonight.
That's fantastic. That's uh-huh. good. There is something about being able to sleep over at a friend's house. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing like being able to do it during a school night.
Oh, yeah. When you're a kid?
When you got to do
I
it
ever
as
got
a,
to do
as,
that.
Well, like once in a blue moon. Like
well, but
once
see,
in
I also went
I
to school with all boys.
Oh, yeah. So,
not every year, but.
Might have nixed that. Might not have been able to do that.
Nope.
There was very few things that felt like as cool as being able to have a sleepover on a school night. I remember that much. I didn't do a ton of that until I moved out here. But, it was always fun, though. The sleepovers were cool.
Well, and as an adult, it can be fun, too, because you get extra time with, as for me, my friend Laura is going to be putting me up tonight, so I get to spend time with the kids, and we'll get a more of a chance to talk in person as opposed to over the phone or text or Snapchat or, you know.
Life is such a rush, mm-hmm. and we're constantly going from one thing to the next, and when you have those opportunities, good on you for seizing them.
Yeah.
And it is National Moscato Day.
Oh, hey. Moscatos are good.
Yes. Host or attend a wine tasting party, mix some Moscato cocktails, take a trip to wine country, or just read about the Muscat grape-based wine known as Moscato.
It's super sweet, though.
Yeah.
That's the only issue I have with it. And so, I mean, one glass as like almost a dessert wine is okay, but you can't really have more than one, in my opinion.
I can drink especially if it's just beer. I can drink beer pretty much all night and be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, not get overly crazy, intoxicated, anything like that. Wine, like on the like third, fourth glass or whatever, my words slur.
Well,
there's
science behind that, James,
yeah.
Because there's a lot more alcohol in 5 ounces of wine than there is in 8 ounces of beer.
So my body tells me. Yes.
And being so sweet, it's like Kool-Aid. You can drink it way too fast.
Yeah. And finally, it is National Teacher Day.
Yeah.
If children are the future, teachers are the ones making sure that the future is a good one. Give mm-hmm. thanks to and see how you can help these underpaid workers. We are going to talk about Teacher Appreciation Week in a little bit when we get back after Melissa's news. But certainly touching on this subject, any chance we get is important. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, around here, we do quite a bit, I would say. I don't know if we do enough. I don't know if you can enough.
I don't know if you can enough either, because the job that they do is so crucial and critical to our future.
Yeah. So the history of this day, political and educational leaders began discussion for a day to honor teachers back in 1944. In 1953, Eleanor Roosevelt persuaded the 81st Congress to proclaim Teachers Day. Eleanor, side note, one of the reasons why they say first ladies get things done.
Yes.
Congress declared March 7th in 1980 as Teacher Day. The National Education Association continued to observe Teacher Day on the first Tuesday in March until 1985, when the National PTA established Teacher Appreciation Week.
Hmm.
I was hoping to kind of see the history of teachers. That's what I was kind of looking for, like the very first teachers and stuff. But we already know who the answer to this.
Moms.
It was moms. It was dads.
Yep.
They were the first teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the teachers we have now are moms and dads.
Yes.
Or going to be moms and dads. Or maybe they aren't. And their kids are already in school with them. They are mm-hmm. their kids are these students. certainly things that we worry about as parents with our kids and everything, and you should. That's part of being a good parent. That's part of caring. Another part of caring is understanding that the people that are making an impact in your child's life, knowing what's going on in that classroom a little bit.
Yeah, just having communication with the teacher.
Just communication. It comes back to that C word again, communication. Mm-hmm. It's so much can be uncovered with that. How quickly could we got rid of these stupid, silly stories that are going around about what's happening in our schools or what they're teaching kindergartners, that this is wrong, and you know, all these things and stuff. Wait, talk to the teacher. Mm-hmm. Sit in a class. You know, talk. Go through these things. Mm-hmm. Find out. And wait a minute. You mean there aren't little? You know, the teacher's job isn't to fill the kitty litter box in the bathroom, and that's not happening. You know, these silly things, these ridiculous things happening. That we get thrown around. Like, I mean, if you just ask, you find out. I think some people like living in bliss. I think some people it's a lot easier for them to just be angry than get answers.
Bury your head in the sand.
I ain't talking to them. I'm talking to people out there with an actual that want to be a part of the human race and want to be a part of society. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. That's what teachers do. They answer questions. Just ask. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. I've never met a teacher that's got anything to hide. Like, it's right. No, you can't know what we're going over, you know, in a fourth hour today or something like that. Like, no, well, this is what we're doing.
I mean, they're not going to give you the answers to the test.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah.
And, you know, their job is stressful enough. Data from the Education Association found that 45% of teachers leave the profession within the first 5 years because of those high stress levels. We don't need to add more to it I'm guessing this is going on. No, ask a question, talk to them, communicate with your students' teachers.
Talk to your kids too.
Yeah.
Talk to your kids, communicate with your children. Mm-hmm. How much gets swept under the rug and everything because we just don't open up our mouths and have communication with our own children.
Well, and technology is making that easier on parents. I mean, I know here, at least through Howe, there's connection through Seesaw. So you can have, you know, basically instant messaging with your child's teacher.
Yeah.
And while that seems maybe a little bit more impersonal, it's a line of communication and it's an easy way to share information.
Did you have a favorite teacher growing up? Do you have any names that pop in your head?
Amy White was my favorite teacher in high school. She was a history teacher when I was, I was a sophomore when I started at public school. But my childhood teacher, grade school, was Judy Olson.
Oh, it's a great name.
Yeah.
It's such a teacher name. It's such a teacher name.
It is. But she insisted we call her Judy. We couldn't call her Mrs. Olson.
Huh. I like that. Yeah. I like that. I do that with my students, but I teach adults. So, you know, but I like that still. I still like that. I had in high school, I had Mrs. I. She was our video productions. She was in charge of that. And I would not have graduated without her. I'm positive of that. She helped me so much. Senior year was easily my darkest year of my life at that time. And there was no reason for me to graduate high school. I did not want to, did not care, any of that. There was a part of me that wanted, I was the first James to graduate. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal for me to do that. But I lost that motivation.
Yeah.
Ms. Zai, we did this video productions class at Lincoln. And if we wanted, you could check out a camera and take it home over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We were only allowed to do that once. Ms. Zai let me do that every weekend.
Oh, wow.
And it gave me purpose. It gave me focus. It helped me to recalibrate and be like, okay, well, I wanted to be an actor since I was 7. I actually got a video camera now. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're going to put your money where your mouth is. And then my focus just went so into that. And all of a sudden, my grades started going up a little bit, not much, because my grades never were great. But she was such an impact. I mean, Miss Fisher in high school. I think about, though, my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Hoedeveld. I'm that kid, that insane kid that is raising his hand as soon as he can when they ask what you want to be when you grow up. And I'm going to be a great actor. I didn't say I wanted to be an actor. I'm going to be a great actor. I happened to go from South Chicago to here. Well, South Chicago to Rome to here. And my first teacher in sixth grade out here is a guy who grew up in England and went to school and studied at the old Crown Vic, which is basically like Madison Square Garden for theater. It's the mecca for theater. Mm-hmm. This is my sixth grade teacher. This guy, like of all the odds, of all the places I could end up in this world, and this this is the guy I end up with as my teacher. And he could not have been better to me.
That's
anybody
awesome.
Who's ever acted with me understands that I suck the knowledge out of them and everything because I'm trying to be so great. Mr. Hudova was the first guy I did that with, and he could not have been better to me.
Well, and that's why teachers are take these jobs and are in these roles, because they want to help inspire students to do their best and to be the best kind of person that they can be in their lives. And so for teachers to take that on, to take on all the stress and all the negative things that come with teaching, because there are, you know, it's difficult to manage a classroom full of rambunctious sixth graders and Jameses.
Yes.
But, you know, they do it. They choose to. And that's amazing. So we appreciate you.
We deeply. And one of the ways you can show that appreciation, again, is by saying it, by opening your mouth, talking to teachers, talking to kids. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us, like mine, my kids aren't in school anymore or anything. How can I give back? There's a lot of ways that you can do that. The United Way has their great book. School drive going on.
Yes. Stuff the Bus.
Stuff the Bus is going on. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. And we'll have Terry in this week to talk about it as well. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org. That is not only helping students. That's helping teachers who oftentimes have to help buy supplies for their students.
Mm-hmm.
We have normalized that way too damn much.
Yeah, that shouldn't have to be that way. They don't get paid enough as it is, and then they have to spend that money on supplies for kids in their classrooms?
Yeah.
Not okay.
No. So support teachers. Support the future. And by supporting teachers, you are supporting the future. It seems like a good idea.
Our future.
Everybody's future. Take a break. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. California. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. I do believe we are on the west side of Rapids. West side! Well, hope you're having a good morning out there, everybody. Thank you for rocking with us. Mm-hmm. Melissa and James here with you. That's a lot better than the way I was going to start this segment. I believe the children are the few. No, you don't want me to say. You don't want me to say.
That wasn't bad.
No. We're going to get into teaching just a little bit more here and everything, because it is Teacher Appreciation Week. And if you're not sure how to participate, teachers have one word for you, supplies. You know, they could use supplies. In the old days, an apple might have done the trick, but these days, a lot of teachers have wish lists set up on Amazon.
Yes.
In a survey of more than 1,000 teachers, 75% said that they'd love to have any appreciation shown through gift cards and items purchased off of their Amazon wish list.
Hmm.
Now, for just real quick in case, because I understand how common they are, but if you don't know what an Amazon wish list is, it is that thing where, you know, I want to get that one day. And you put it on your wish list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're usually items that, like for me, I have like a painting that I want to buy one day or something like that, or mm-hmm. a chair or something. With teachers, crayons, glue,
supplies for their classroom, paper,
yes.
I mean, whatever things that they don't have in the budget.
Can we just pause for a second? Could you imagine if politicians had to do this? If any other position, any other job, like we all around here, we buy our own headphones or things like that sometimes. Everybody's got little things like that they do in their job.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it was in a major part of your job, if it was just assumed, hey, this is something teachers do right now. This is just the way it is. It's so bad that it is a common, nobody's shocked that I tell you, hey, teachers have an Amazon wish list for their school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing as a society that we're letting this happen? That we're letting one of the most important positions in society, teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Have we just given up on the future? Have we just given up on education? I mean, because I hear we just about a month ago had Wisconsin numbers come up about reading, about these things. And I heard a bunch of people complaining and whining about our school systems and everything. But I saw then when the election time came around and these schools were looking for funds, nothing. Nothing. I asked Krug about it last week. Nothing. Are we doing anything about this? Yeah, we're doing something about it. What? What are we doing? Because this year after year after year after year, teachers are having Amazon wish lists mm-hmm. because they don't have enough money. I'm not one of these people that's going to tell you, well, we got to take out of this, we got to take out of that. We have to, because that money's got to come from somewhere. But it doesn't necessarily have to come from, well, then we're going to take from Social Security, or we're going to take from this. Or, no, it doesn't have to come from those. There are angles in the budget that we can afford to cut from in order to help education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would think that should be number one on the list. Like, outside,
it'd be nice if it was.
Outside, safety, all right, mm-hmm. Making sure that is all right. But we have people that care more about the most ridiculous of subjects before even opening their mind even a little bit to the idea that maybe kids could use like up-to-date books, or maybe teachers could focus on classwork and studying, different projects for class instead of making sure that their kids have enough glue.
Yeah. Well, and funding for schools includes building maintenance as well, because school buildings age. A lot of our school buildings are old. Granted, we have, really nice new additions on some of these school buildings, but some of those they had to do, like the safety and security things that they had to install in our buildings. That's another issue that maybe we wouldn't have had to do that if we didn't have, school shootings.
Yeah.
There's so many things wrapped up into this issue, but the number one thing it all comes down to is pretty much what it always comes down to is money.
We're a nation that can't protect its kids. We've got that going on in our schools, let alone all of these other things going on in our schools. At the very least we could do is make sure they have enough supplies.
Yes.
At the very least, the idea that it's more that the answer to this is putting a gun in a school or teaching kids how to dress a wound or something. That's the option. That's the best we can do. That's not America. That's not what we do. That's not what it is to be an American. We're the country that got to the moon. We're the people that not our people necessarily, but founding fathers, et cetera, decide that, hey, we want to start a country. We're going to start our own country. We're going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
That's where this
free
all begins.
Free of kings and queens.
Yes.
We are going to be a democracy and rule ourselves.
Rebels. True rebels, not people that just throw that word around or anything, but actual rebels. That's where this all started.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost that spirit. That idea that, well, we can't do this, it's too big, or, well, this is more important. Nothing should be more important than our kids. Nothing. Correct. You can go ahead and keep throwing stuff at me. It ain't going to top kids. Nothing is going to. And it all starts here with this stuff. What are we doing as a society if we're not doing these things? We're not helping this stuff out. Everybody's got a teacher that impacts them. Everybody knows how important this is. When's the last time you met a person who was established in life, did some stuff, like made some things happen, and they had no education?
Right. Never went to school.
Never went to school.
Not as common in this country.
No.
I mean, it maybe happens in other countries because they don't have the education system, but we need to fund our education system. And in Wisconsin, it has been undermined for the last 50 years.
Yeah. I don't do all this for nothing. I care a lot about high school sports, and it all comes back to that for me. And I was trying to find a way to wrap this up. I was trying,
and bring up sports again.
Yes, I wanted to do that. Nearly 57, the wish lists are usually filled with classroom supplies. Nearly 57% of teachers say that the number one supply they're always running out of is writing utensils like pens, crayons, pencils, and markers. One of the greatest ways to show appreciation to your former teachers is to help out current teachers.
Yes.
You can buy supplies for, these classrooms and drop them off or call ahead and drop them off or however that, you want to do that. I know I've called ahead before when I've done this kind of stuff.
Well, it's smart because it gives the office staff a heads up that it's coming because they're busy too. Let me tell
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And you don't want somebody like me just walking into a class.
You can't.
Thank
anymore.
God you can't. Yeah, that's one way of doing this. Paying it forward is helping out, and you're not waiting for politicians or anybody else to get something done.
No, we need to take the onus on ourselves because they're not going to do it.
Yeah. And again, you can help out as well when the United Way has their school drive going on here and everything.
Right now it's the signing up
for right now
for the school supplies and backpacks. And then later will be the donations.
Yeah, we encourage you to go learn more about Stuff the Desk. Again, you can register right now at uwswac.org, uwswac.org. We will take a quick commercial break, come back, and we're going to talk about Brussels sprouts, why we like them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Why do I sing that? The locally grown radio. I don't know why
Pat
I do it.
Does it every time I go on his show
does
on
he?
Wednesdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's something about
he
it.
He said we need to have a jingle.
Well, when I first said it to Marcus, I think I may have even done it that way. And I was just in a normal conversation with the guy, so I don't even know. I'm not sure.
No, it just rolls off the tongue. Because we are local radio.
Amen. Looking at this next article, I thought this was pretty interesting. Now, we've talked about Brussels sprouts on like the Kitchen's Open, which you can catch every Monday at 9 o'clock hour. Shout out Chatterbox Catering.
Yeah, thank you.
We've talked about that a bit there. In random conversations, vegetables and these things have come up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned that Brussels sprouts are one of the few ones I don't mind.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising because Brussels sprouts are controversial for some people.
I like it's so much about texture for me. And there's a bit, like when you make them, there's a bit of a crunch to them. Like, I like that. I like a little snap to, like a good pickle to me has to snap.
Yes.
If it's
absolutely
bendy and I'm like, no, moving on. I don't want that ain't a kosher pickle. I don't want it. I like that. Like, my vegetables, I notice more and more if I'm going to eat more vegetables.
Yeah, they got to be tender crisp.
Yeah, yeah. And which, it, like, a lot of vegetables are great that way.
And it's the perfect way to make them because, like, we talked about asparagus on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
They have the most nutrients then.
I made a mental note about that. I swear to you, I really did. I am paying attention. I really am. Have you noticed how Brussels sprouts have been popping up on restaurant menus? A TikToker asked that question, and the response went viral. Back in the 90s, a Dutch scientist identified the chemical that made them bitter. So he bred the chemical out of them and crossbred the new sprouts with a variety that produce higher yields.
Mm.
Not long after, the world had tons of Brussels sprouts that didn't taste horrible.
Nice.
This is pretty wild.
That is cool.
I want to find out who this scientist was, though. I just feel like that's a person we should definitely be, mention their name and everything.
Mentioning their name, talking about them. The fun thing about Brussels sprouts, with their popularity, increased popularity, this was in January for my birthday. My boyfriend took me to Wausau, and we stayed in a hotel there, and we had lunch when we got there at the hotel, and they had Brussels sprouts on the menu for lunch, and so I got that with my sandwich, and they were so delicious, and I'm like thinking, this is healthy, good veggie to have, it's so yummy. So then I mentioned it to our server. We were the only people in the restaurant.
Nice.
So he chatted with us quite a bit, and he's like, yeah, it's so easy, we just dump them in the deep fryer for... Okay, well, I thought they were healthy. Deep fried Brussels sprouts. But they're only in there for, I think, like maybe a minute. It's just so that they flash fry them, basically, and then... Drain them off.
You did just make them sound a lot better to me by saying that. I did a similar thing with broccoli back in the day. I was so excited because my cousin Lisa made us a bunch of like broccoli, and it was really good. And I ate a bunch of it, and I was so proud of myself. And I told my mom, and I'm like, "Yeah, it's really good." And she had dumped all this cheese on it, Mom. It was so good, was like, Jimmy. You kind of defeat the purpose with the cheese part. I had to look this up. In the 1990s, Dutch scientist Hans van Doorn identified the chemicals in Brussels sprouts that made them bitter, according to findings published in Van Doorn's 1998 study. Those chemicals were syngrin and proagortin. And once they were identified, they were able to take them out. Dutch seed companies were able to breed them out. So now you can't find that flavor in Brussels sprouts. This is crazy.
That's awesome, though. I mean, because it is a very, healthy vegetable, if you don't deep fry them. To make them far more palatable, it makes a lot more sense then for how many kids in, up to the 90s hated Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, yeah. What a hero move. Like, I mean, way to go, man.
Way to go, Van Doorn.
And I got to say, if your name is Hans Van Doorn, you have to be a scientist.
It's fitting.
You either have to be a scientist or a villain in a superhero movie. Like, those are your options in life. Like, I want to be a teacher. No, you've had that name like that. I'm sorry, you have to do that. I'm sorry. That's a great name and a great. Mm-hmm. That's a great man right there. That's pretty cool. How did this story not get covered more? Like, you would think this is a huge
90s.
Yeah. It may have been completely covered. Like, I was in school and didn't care or
didn't
anything
care,
like that.
Didn't pay attention.
Yeah, that very, very well could be. As much as I love useless information, and I am one of the kings of useless information. My brain is full of random facts that will never help me whatsoever. I'll never end up on Jeopardy, and that question will be asked or anything like that. I don't remember that. I don't remember hearing about that.
I don't either, but I do remember not liking Brussels sprouts as a kid, but it probably had more to do with how my mom cooked them.
Yeah.
If they're mushy, they're not so great.
I've mentioned before many times, I had 10 different addresses before I was 10. We moved around a lot growing up. But this next article that brings this up is kind of interesting. With all that moving around that we did, Melissa, I can still remember what it was like to get familiar with a place. And I think one of the first signs of being familiar with a place was liking the smell. Or having a smell that when you walked into your apartment or for us, it was always an apartment. Mm-hmm. It smelled like us. It was our smell, what have you. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we kind of go with our next article here. The percentage of us that love their house to smell want their house to smell like and that kind of thing. What you want, the smells that you want in your house. We all spend a ton of money on stuff to make our homes smell good. Candles, air fresheners, essential oils, those reed sticks things or whatever they are called. I don't know. but all we really need is a couple of buckets of bleach. As it turns out, that's all we really need.
Buckets of bleach.
In a new survey, people were asked for their favorite scents to enjoy at home. And 17% said anything floral, flowers, potpourri, and stuff like that. But 14% said that they enjoy the scent of cleaning and sanitized products like chlorine bleach. So 17% like the potpourri stuff, only just a couple percent down at 14%, you've got people that love the bleach smell.
Okay.
13% said that they prefer a citrus smell. Another 13% said woodsy and natural scents. And 11% said that they smell like the smell of baked goods. 66% of people believe that they'd be able to recognize the unique scent of their own home, for better or worse. I think it's one of the more interesting things about human beings, is every house, every apartment, every place you go into is going to have that different smell to it.
Mm-hmm.
And some are okay, some aren't. I admire the people that care about these things. As I think it says a lot about you. It says a lot about, you know, how you want to live your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't necessarily think that you have to keep a spotless house. That's almost impossible, especially if you have little feet running around, you know, if you have little ones.
Or pets.
Yes. Yeah, I was trying to say cover both with little feet. I didn't know if it did that or not. But, you know, pets, kids, whatever that might be. But I do think that there's something to be said for your own mental health, for your own well-being, to have
you need a level of cleanliness, yes.
Yeah, but I also think you could go crazy if you go too far with that. Mm-hmm. And don't, you know, it only has to be so far. One of the things that you can do, all people can do, is the smell. Having a potpourri, a kind of scent that you like in your house, can also be a real motivator. And we forget this sometimes, how it can not only encourage us to do things, but it can also be a great like ally to mental health. Just smells. The sense of smell is a big one. How many people love when summer comes around and you get that first smell of a cut lawn?
Yeah.
Or something. God, I love it. It's amazing.
Or when it's about to rain and you can smell the ozone in the air. Yeah.
These things, our sense of smell gets kind of thrown to the side often. Usually it only comes up when we smell something we don't like. You know?
Well, sometimes, but there's other times where you get a waft of, I know Seth won't like this apparently, but when the lilacs are in bloom and you can smell them coming across
really nice.
Through the air, or like you said, fresh cut grass out in the countryside, hay fields when they're cutting the hay in the fall or late summer. I think smells, we're more aware of them, but it's like a subconscious thing. So yeah, walking into your home and having it smell cozy is, and you.
Yes. It goes a long way for you. Mm-hmm. It can not only help you with, like I said, mental health and all those things. It can be such a motivator. It can be such a thing that gets you going, gets you rised up and doing more things. Do you have a go-to scent or smell that you like in your house? I'm a either citrusy or woodsy kind of person. I like both of those.
I like woodsy or things that smell earthy, like grass. But lately, my go-to in my vaporizer has been pine, cedarwood, and just a touch of bergamot, which is a citrusy.
Wow.
So, see, citrus and woodsy.
See, now that feels like the way to do this. For me, it's like, okay, that. And I just grab one thing and like put it out there. Oh, this smells like oranges. Sounds good to me. And I just put it out, open the top or whatever, and let it sit. That's the way to do it. Like, you know, putting some time and thought into it and everything. Mm-hmm. Or you can change it up a little bit too,
I imagine.
You can
make different combinations. I do also like incense sticks, and I had brought some back from Hawaii with me, and so I have some of those. I don't even honestly know what they are, because I got them at a Hindu temple.
Ooh.
But they smell yummy, and they remind me of being on a tropical island.
That sounds like a nice thing to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's any reminders of that seems like a good thing. You can find this complete article at swndigital.com, swndigital.com. More than half of Americans, 51%, experience scentstalgia. I just wanted to say that phrase, scentstalgia.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Which is missing the comfort scents of their homes after being away for a couple of days, or similarly, the smells that you had when you were growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
For many, that aroma brings feelings of comfort, a sentiment shared by 77% of respondents to this survey.
Because if you think about it, you can remember what like your grandparents' house smelled like.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. It just popped in my head. That's crazy. I don't know if I've thought about that before. That's interesting. How the power of scent can be good and bad.
Very true.
Yeah. We're taking a break. We're going to come back and we're going to have some more fun. We'll kick things off in the next hour with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Traum is going to join us. We're going to talk a little weather and how much we talk about weather. We're going to get into that. We also have the best cities for local food and plenty more. Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. Much more coming up in the Tuesday edition of the Morning Show with Melissa and James on WFHR, locally grown radio.